Fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. Just like every other Tuesday, today we're going to dig into the topic of sales. We're going to talk all things communication, sales, money mindset, how your brain should approach the sales game, and some other cool actions for you to take consistently that will move the sales needle. Appreciate you guys being here. Give us a review. Share this episode with another contractor that you know could use it. And without further ado, let's talk about sales. All right, welcome to Contractor Fight Podcast Sales Edition. What's up, Derek?
Doing outstanding, sir. What's up with you?
You know, I'm just hanging out doing this today and some things around the house, but it's been like a crazy day. I got family in town, which is awesome. I've got appliance guys swapping out appliances in our kitchen today. I've got Heiner Outdoor Living working on our front yard out in the front. We've got teenagers running around. We've got dogs running around. Typical day at the Reber house, man. So,
just as you said that, I think sometimes I'm oblivious to so many different things. Like, I'm starting to realize that 4th of July is right around the corner. Mm-hmm. And just talking about craziness, it is always crazy till a holiday comes up. And after holidays, it chills out for a minute. And then the craziness builds up again. It's like I'm 48 years old and I'm just now starting to go, oh, this is kind of how the normal life schedules work. Things are chaotic shortly before holidays, construction, things drop off, and then it picks right back up.
Yeah, well, listen, you got little ones at home too. So let me ask you, honestly, just between me and you here, no one else can hear this.
Yeah, nobody else.
Do you kind of look forward to Mondays rolling around so you can not work as hard?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And Mondays, even I actually go into to work early on Monday, so it's even better.
Oh. It's tough. For those of you listening, I got little kids and stuff, man. Woo. It is a grind. Woo. And Derek's one of them, man. You're 48. And what are the ages again?
2 and 4.
2 and 4, mm-hmm. Right?
In 20 and 23. So with those, you know, they're kind of on autopilot at this point.
Dad just they just want money.
One of them called today and said, hey Dad, you know that subscription that I used to buy when I was a kid? And I was like, yes. He's like, I know I'm turning 20. Could you do that for me again? It's like, yes, baby, absolutely. And I went, wait, what am I getting you for your birthday? Oh, never mind. Fine.
So today's topic.
Today's
topic. Sorry, I cut you off there. I didn't mean to do
that. The girls, my babies, they can have whatever they want. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's kind of how it works. I want to tell you guys a quick story here. Today, we're going to talk about building rapport. And I remember the first sales job I had selling windows for some company doing replacement windows. It was like not a known company they didn't sell anyone's windows you'd ever hear of, right? They were just these vinyl replacement windows. They went to like low income areas with telemarketers and, you know, just set appointments, and you'd have 2 appointments a night. You'd go, and the gig was you either get kicked out of the house or you leave with a contract. That was literally the culture of the sales team. And so that was my first sales job. And in one of the trainings, they're like, yeah, you got to build rapport, you know? So you go into the house and you see, you know, hey, they have a picture on the wall of the guy holding the fish. And they're like, oh, you like to fish. I like to fish too. Or, you know, my uncle fishes, and, you know, all this, you know, the whole rapport thing. So,
sure.
So that was the thing. And you think it's this, you know, crazy thing that helps you sell. And we're going to get into that in a second. But I want to share a story here. The most unique way I ever built rapport. And I did it on accident.
Usually how it happens.
Yeah, it was with this window job. I might have had a little bit to drink the night before. And it was a Saturday morning, 9 a.m. appointment. And for those of you in the Chicago area, I lived in Naperville, about an hour west, straight west of Chicago. I had an appointment in Joliet, which is pretty far south from there. You know, a good 40, 45 minutes, depending on traffic, could be an hour. Saturday morning, I had to be in Joliet at 9 o'clock for this sales call. And I played in a band at the time and, you know, all this other stuff. So we were out to like 3 in the morning, you know, and I'm dragging my drums back up to my third story apartment at 3:30 in the morning, whatever it was, you know, and got a few hours sleep. And yeah, like I said, we had a few, right? So I was hanging the next day, man. So I pull up to this guy's house. I pull out front of the house. I get out of my pickup and I got my little window display in my hand, you know, a little vinyl window display that you open the case and you open the window and you let them touch it and feel it and all that other stuff. Right. And this old man is standing in his garage, garage doors open. He's in his 80s. He's smoking a cigarette in the garage because his wife won't let him smoke in the house. So he's sneaking one in the garage, right? As I'm walking up the driveway with my window, he comes out just past his overhead garage door. He starts yelling at me. I told the lady on the phone not to send anyone out. I'm not buying a damn thing. Starts screaming at me. Okay. I take my window. It's in my hand. And I look down at it. And now I'm really close to the house. Okay. I'm like right up near where he is almost. I take my window and I launch it into his yard. I just whip it into the yard, my display. I throw it and I go, dude, I don't care. But whatever you are cooking inside smells amazing and I want to know what it is. He totally drops his guard. He goes, oh, that's my homemade turkey chili. Come on in. You got to try a bowl. Totally disarmed the guy, right? Ooh. Hour later, hour and a half later, we're drinking Bacardi and Cokes in his basement, signing a contract for new windows on his house. And so what I did is I built this connection with this guy on accident that wasn't based on like the fish on the wall, right? So awesome. That was just the most extreme story I could think of when it came to building rapport, because it was something that was important to him, right? And so I want to define rapport here. I pulled up the dictionary. A close and harmonious relationship. I've never looked this word up before until today, by the way. And this is kind of funny based on how we teach sales. A close and harmonious relationship in which the people or groups concerned understand each other's feelings or ideas and communicate well. Like, I think if you were to poll most salespeople right now, you'd go, what does rapport mean? And they'd probably say something along the lines of finding common ground to connect on, right? And this is all about understanding, there's connection here, but understanding each other's feelings. This has nothing to do with, Derek, you drive Jeeps, right? And if I were selling to you, I'd be like, oh, I noticed you have a Jeep in the driveway, right? Now I got to manufacture some connection with you that's not based, you know, thinking we have this in common. So what are your thoughts on building rapport? Because if you don't have rapport, it's going to be really hard to sell.
When you said the feeling part, that totally makes sense, because I've just for years, I'm big on dialogue versus monologue. And I never realized that. I just generally have a conversation with someone and we literally dialogue back and forth and I'm not really looking for anything. You end up having some sort of similar connection and you just talk about that. And when you find that rhythm with the person, truly, you know, mirroring the body language unintentionally. And now I've learned all this stuff. And it's like, wow, I did some of those things and I've tied it in. But it's really when you can just have that conversation, when you can just have that dialogue back and forth about something, and it's a nice back and forth. It's a volley. It's not, no one's talking over one another. I'm not forming statements in my head to one up them. We're truly connecting on something. And then maybe it's about the project we're going to work on, but maybe it is about something that they got going on the house. And kind of that similar deal. Like he wants to talk to you about the turkey chili and share it with you. So it's really, not everybody has it. A lot of people have to train for it. And then once you train for it, you really have to get so that it's not so forced and obvious, but it just rapport. Man, I just feel comfortable, even more so now with Shin Fu, just asking other people questions. I feel comfortable talking to anyone at any time. Mm-hmm. So I did it before, but I didn't realize that I was doing it. Now I would build rapport and it would reach a point where basically like, could you just leave? Because we're talking too much. Like go home.
Yeah.
It's like, I have been in your house for 4 hours. I probably should go home.
Well, dude, how many times and those listening is really who I want to address here, but how many times do you go out to somebody's house? You meet with somebody. I mean, for me, it was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of times that I did this before I learned how to actually connect and sell. Like you would find this common ground and then you spend all this time and then you're like, man, we really got along. They really liked me and I liked them and we had this connection. And then next thing you know, they drop off the face of the earth because they're not going to hire you. You know what I mean? We talk about that all the time here. And like, okay, you might have had some rapport there and they liked you and maybe they were talkative and you got on a topic that, you know, I mean, I've talked with, I mean, I have three of our five kids are adopted and, you know, I was in the Marine Corps and a football coach and all these different things that I could connect with people on, right? And just like you and everybody listening to this. So don't confuse that with true rapport, you know? And like, when's the last time that you've gone into a sales situation and you've intentionally thought the word rapport? I have to build rapport. Probably been a while, right?
Yeah. I don't even know when that would be, like a long time.
Here's my theory. I've been thinking about this for a couple of days. Step one in our process is the motive. I think when you do the motive right, you build rapport because you are connecting on something that's important to them. Mm-hmm. And that's where the rapport is built. That's where the connection is built. It has nothing to do with your fishing trip or your Jeep or, you know, where your dad went to college or any of that garbage.
It's just people like to share about themselves. And if you can genuinely be interested in what they're saying, there's where the feelings come in. And yes, you can use some tactical empathy to kind of go, okay, how do I get in their shoes? How do I do this? But it's really not that hard to vibe with people. And if you're a salesperson and you truly, and you don't want to be overly charismatic, I mean, charisma's great. That makes people attracted to you. But if you could just have a conversation, because people just want to talk and share and be heard. I think more bond and rapport comes from just listening to someone, because so many people are not being heard. They're not being validated. They're just, everybody's talking. Everybody's trying to jockey for position, for feelings. So if you could just chill out for a minute and let someone feel felt, they're going to like you. And you're probably going to like them. Then you got to bring up your product or whatever it is and tie it in. But initially, it's pretty important to just have some sort of connection that's not false. And so it's at my garden center. I was just there and I sold a couple of projects. I was in the back and I walked out. I saw two ladies and I walked up and I just said, how can I help? What would you like me to know? Just like I do on the phone. And they kept going, going, going. I just happened to look down at her shirt and said Fairview. Fairview Plantation is my mom and dad live in an adjoining neighborhood. They're like, they're sisters. Yes. And I just went. And so for me, it wasn't like the fish on the wall. I went, damn, Daddy-O plays golf up there. And I was like, are you a fitness trainer there? Or she's in good shape. So I mean, it's why not? You know, are you a fitness trainer there? Do you play golf? Like what? She's like, no, I play golf. So next thing I know, we're talking about this. And then by the time I'm done, I sold a $2,400 cleaning and a $7,000 pondless. And it all started with, just tell me what you'd like me to know. And then I talked about playing the course. So it truly was a connection, like a real connection. I wasn't looking for some sort of false thing. I was just like, damn, Fairview?
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yep.
So there is that. I'm not manufacturing it. I'm actually going, oh, what an opportunity here to talk about this.
If you're a window installer, you deserve a simple choice. Anderson 400 series windows. They're the windows contractors trust the most based on a 2022 survey of U.S. contractors, probably because they have fewer callbacks and extra peace of mind. And thanks to shortened lead times, they're available faster. At the Contractor Fight, we like to highlight companies and products who have a track record of delivering high quality and service to contractors, like Anderson 400 series windows. Request a quote today at andersonwindows.com. You know, it's funny, as I keep reading this definition here, it talks about understand each other's feelings. I think the number one thing that's important to a human being is that they're heard and understood.
It's everything.
Yeah. And, you know, and so guys, if you want to truly build rapport with another individual, simply create an environment, ask the types of questions and things like that, where you're peeling things back like Derek does. You're not pouncing on it like we've talked about here before, but you're peeling it back to understand them more. And then you repeat that stuff back. So what I'm hearing is, this is really important to you, Derek, and blah, blah, blah. And this is the most, like, one of the questions I've always asked people is, hey, what's the worst thing that could possibly happen in this project for you? You know, and you remember the one story, the lady's like, you wake my twins up. If you wake my twins up, I will kill you. Right.
Yeah,
And I'm like, hey, well, would it make sense if we just adjust our start times to make it where our lunch, we'd take a longer lunch around when the hour and a half that they nap, and we'll actually go off site there. And I know there's a park down the road. We'll go down there. We'll have lunch. We'll do some company training for 3 or 4 days while we're working here on your job. And she's like, you would do that? And I'm like, yeah, it's not a problem. She felt heard. She felt understood. You know, what do most guys do? They go, don't wake my twins up, even if they get that from her. And then they're like, oh, we'll be really quiet. Right.
Yeah. No problem.
So
we'll wear soundproof shoes.
One other way I want to share how you could build rapport and help somebody feel understood, you guys, is through your content. You know, a lot of times when you create content and you're doing a video like, hey, one of the biggest questions we get is, you know, how do I get my home ready for the painters to come in? Or how do we do this? Or what happens here? You know, this is why Marcus Sheridan, They Ask You Answer, so powerful, because it builds trust. And that is also, to me, that's a form of building rapport with people. When they're on your website, they're seeing your videos, you know, reading your articles or whatever it is, you're making the case that you understand them if you do it right.
So on the video front, I can't tell you how many times we do a pre-job walkthrough and Travis and I show up and they literally go, Uncle Trav, you're here. Because they've seen him on our videos so much, and he calls himself Uncle Trav. And, you know, he's got his little tagline, cheers, at the end. You know, it's his whole deal. And yes, we want, and I push that tremendously. I want everyone to see who we are before we arrive. And it was walking through the garden center the other day. Actually, it was Dan and Cole were here. We were back at the back looking at the area, and then we were walking through. They were hanging out in the Airstream. It was like, okay, cool. Let's head over to the place. Actually, I don't know where we were going after that. I think we went on the lake. They stayed a couple extra days so we could just hang out. I'm walking past. They were with me. Could not have been better for me. A lady went, oh, wait, are you Derek? It's always on the videos. I was like, yes, I am. Thank you very much. And I just looked over at Dan and Nicole like, do you see that? That was awesome. Did I just pay her? but it works, right? I mean, that is truly poor rebuilding. So let me drop a nugget.
All right, let's drop the nugget as we get out of here, because I was literally just going to ask you what's something tactical you can give.
This is a little different in that, but this is the nugget of being heard. When you said people just want to be heard, I just had a fellow CAC, Certified Occupational Contractor, come by the garden center. I sold him an excavator, was getting rid of it, and he came and picked it up. So it was great. I felt good. It's going to go back in the field. It's going to be with a good person. I'm weird. So we're talking. He had his wife with him. And he asked me a question. He knows that, you know, I'm in the contractor fight and knows I do sales training and stuff. And he said, hey, can I ask you a question outside? I said, sure. And it was about another contractor, and then it tied in. And then next thing I know, the conversation's actually turned into a bit of marriage counseling between he and his wife. And I was hearing it, and I said, can I share something with you guys? And they were like, absolutely. So here's the nugget. When my wife says something, the man immediately wants to fix it. That's what we do. So you can look at this like contractor prospect, same scenario, because you're pouncing because you're trying to fix it before they've told you what you need to do. So I said, what Aaron and I do when Aaron has a problem, instead of me fixing it, I feel it like I need to fix it. And you've heard me say this talk. A lot of people have heard me say this, but I want to share it with others that have it. You simply go, am I listening or am I fixing? And I said that to them, and the wife went, you're actually asking that? Like, you're truly, I would love for him to ask that. Like, and she went, that would have helped our 2-hour argument before we got here. And we were laughing because he just kept trying to fix it. She said, I would love, could you do that for me? Like, could you truly just ask? Because I just needed to vent. If you would have just let me be heard, that would have been a 10-minute conversation, but it turned into 2 hours.
Yeah.
Same thing with prospect and contractor. Ask them, how can I help you? Let me see if I can help you. And then shut your mouth. Let them tell you from that. Validate them when they say it. Oh, okay. So Mrs. Jones, based on what I've heard, this is motive, right? It's you want us to come in the backyard. You want us to build in this area. You want us to be out of here by 2 p.m. We need to blah, 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 blah. Did I get everything right? Now she feels heard.
Love that.
That's rapport. Like all of a sudden she's like, cool. And then you got to go over some other things. And if she wants you to fix something, husband-wife relationship, she's going to tell you. There's no question. She's probably already told you multiple times you needed to fix it anyway. So quit trying to fix things when they bring up the conversation. You should have done it 6 months ago anyway. So, and then there is the center version of Aaron and I, where I'll literally say, am I listening or am I fixing? And she'll say, I don't know. Can we just talk a little bit? Which means, Derek, listen. And then through that discovery, maybe I do need to fix it, or maybe I do just need to be heard and we'll be done. If you can tie those two universes together, it's all relative. It's always personal. It's always business. I don't see a separation between the two.
Well, I'm the master in our relationship here with the queen of trying to fix, because that's me. I just, my tendency is put everything on my back, right? And I think as men, we do that. And it was a few weeks ago, and she was like upset about, she was just venting, right? You know, doing her thing and whatever.
They do.
And I started to open my mouth like I was going to talk. And she looked at me, she puts her hand up like, stop. She goes, I don't need you to fix. I don't need you to fix. We're good. I'll let you know if I need you to fix. So for those spouses that are listening right now, that also is helpful for, I'll just go very stereotypical male, female here.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
You know, so if you're a wife, help, you know, throw the guy a bone now and then, like, hey, I don't need you to fix this. Right. Like,
You can set it up. Yeah. You can go, hey, just listen to me. Don't interrupt me at all. You don't need to fix anything. I'm just going to vent. Make this easy on you.
And it reminds me of that video with the woman's like, I just have this pain in my head and it's just always nagging. Do you remember that? And she had a nail in her head.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, but you just, have a nail in your head. She's like, I don't need you to fix me. Yeah, I just need you to listen to me. And she literally has a nail stuck in her head.
It's right there. It's just right there.
Check that out online, guys. Google that video. I forget who did it. But another tool I want to give everybody before we get out of here that you made me think of was, I've been on sales calls before where I will say, I'll just make something up here. Hey, Derek, you know, about three times in the last 10 minutes, you brought up your frustration with communication or whatever the thing is, right? And then here's the thing, which it's asking permission, right? We always ask permission. I go, does it make sense for us to dig into that a little more? And then I just shut my mouth. And sometimes they're like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I want to know what I need to know here to make sure that you don't feel this way about us if we move forward on this. So my point here, guys, is that's, you can still address something without pouncing all over it, where most people go, Derek, you know, brings up, oh, the communication's terrible. Well, we always communicate really well, and we have this process, and we do this, and I used to do that, so I'm really good at it, by the way. And so I've learned to ask permission in those things. Like, hey, you've brought up, you know, a couple times about your kids and their nap time and stuff. Is that something that we should dig into a little more? Mm-hmm. You know, what would it look like if we dug into that more? However you want to ask that question. Guys, that's building rapport, because they're feeling heard, they're feeling understood. And the last thing I'll say on this, you close this out, is a lot of this rapport and connection with people is subconscious. A lot of times the consumer or prospect doesn't even know what's happening. They just know. I mean, how many times has this happened? Derek, you were five times higher than all the other contractors. We just felt like you understood us. We feel like we just have a good feeling about you. Like that feeling thing, guys, don't underestimate that, because people trust their instincts. Remember, we all want to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, our human nature is to protect ourselves and not get burned or hurt or eaten by a saber-toothed tiger or screwed by a contractor. You know, so you want to create that communication and that conversation in a way that it just resonates and it feels safe to them.
I'm making the reference of husband and wife, but it's really anybody. Because Tom, if I needed to express something, I would want you to just listen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would. I wouldn't want you to fix it unless it's like, okay, let's go through this. And it's really any humans. It's, if you can just take yourself and just go in any situation and just know the imaginary sign that everybody's wearing around their neck that says, make me feel important. The easiest way to do that is just to listen and expand on those questions that they're, or their statements, you know, seems like this is very important to you, and then shut your mouth, because it obviously is, because they're speaking, they are the most important person. And that's how rapport can happen. Just let someone else be heard and square away your feelings at the moment so that they can just be heard. And know that you're in a discovery phase and you're trying to reach a goal together, but you're not going to get there until they can express themselves completely, because it's never the first thing. The onion, as Tom talks about all the time, it's never the first thing. It's probably the fifth thing. And you're not going to get there if you're talking. You yourself are talking. You're going to get there if you listen.
I'm trying not to talk.
It's right. Right. See, that's what I love about a dialogue. It's my mom and I have the most wonderful dialogues, and I have it with a few people, but there's very few people that you can really, you and Tom, you and I do as well. Mm-hmm. Like we can really just have a nice conversation, volleying back and forth, and we both feel heard and validated, and we go through it, and it's good. Some people it's difficult with because they just want to talk over you. They just want a monologue, period. That's tough. And then sometimes some people just don't express well. And that stuff, that's where like you're pulling teeth. Yeah, I'm trying to pull this out of them. Because even as good as you are at Shin Fu and asking questions, sometimes they just go, yep. And you're like, okay, let me try again.
We talk a lot about disc profiles and stuff. And, you know, I've, in the past, I used to struggle a lot with the high S. The high S is very reserved. They hold things back. You got to kind of pull things out of them. And I've gotten to the point before where, and this takes a really good connection with somebody, you know, like if the tonality's off, you're hosed. But I remember one time in particular where really high S, and I was asking questions, and I just said, call her Mary. I said, Mary, are you cool if I just kind of speak candidly? And she goes, yeah. I said, I get the feeling that it feels like you're holding some things back. And I just want to get this right for you, you know? And so whatever you feel you have to say to help me get this right for you, whether it means we're not a good fit or we are a good fit, let's just get there. Can we do that? And it totally helped. And she was like, well, yeah, I just usually, and she went on to where she was like, I tend to stuff things and I try to not make a big deal out of them and I don't want to ruffle feathers and this and that. And it was something like she wanted us to adjust our start time on a project or some crap like that. It was something really minor and she just didn't. But my point here is where a high D like me, you know, we're going to take the thing over. I've sold the high D's before where they're doing all the talking, the directing, and I'm asking two or three questions. And I'm like, yeah, so what do you think we should do about that? Well, I think we should do this. I'm like, all right, cool. Hey, well, what if I was able to do this and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it cost $18,000-$20,000 somewhere in there. It's like, okay, let's do it. Like sale is done. Like, so this is where you got to become a people expert, you guys, but, and rapport is across the board, obviously.
It's exactly, it's everything. And it's a, I put a lot of effort and training into suppressing my D.
A lot.
I feel like I've actually grown as a person because of it too, because of the disc profile, because of the sales and the way we're doing things. I truly have become a different person. And what is it? What do they call that in the disc profile? You've got who you are and then you've got the adaptive.
There's right? natural and adaptive.
Yeah. So I've adapted quite a bit where I would say some of my friends wouldn't even know me. In certain instances, like you're not a dick anymore. This is interesting.
I was just going to say you're not such a big D anymore, right? So,
That's it.
All right. Well, good stuff. So, guys, listen.
You said it right there. Guys, listen.
Yeah. Period.
That's it.
Be the type of salesperson that asks great questions that are important to people and shut your mouth. You don't have to, don't put all this pressure on yourself to create some connection just in the name of building rapport. Of course, rapport is important, right? But you could build rapport through your content. You could build it through asking great questions and shutting up and then reaffirming those things back to people and repeating them back. Hey, Tim Catroni is great with that. You're great with this. Like, hey, what I'm hearing is this, 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 and this. Did I get that right? Is there anything else you'd like me to know? Did I miss something like that right there? Just that tells people that you're tuned in, that you're listening and you're uncommon. I mean, Derek, I know you're dealing with a lot of salespeople like I am doing things around the house and outside of the house and this and that. 99.9% of the salespeople I deal with don't even do that. That one little thing of just asking a great question, shutting their mouth and just, if they would just said, hey, is there anything else that you would like me to know? Like, just give me that. My Lord, you would elevate yourself from the pack immediately. I mean, we're getting married in August, as you know, and there's a place that we were looking at to get married. And the reason we're not getting married there, and it was big bucks, is because of the salesperson. She did not ask us one question. And so all she did was like, oh, what do you do for a living? I'm like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then Lee, you know, was in the horse industry. And then of course it was like, oh, my brother's girlfriend, she rides horses too. You know, and it became this whole thing where she's just vomiting all over us and never asked a question. And I walked out of there and I looked at Lee and I said, no way. And we gave her another chance, like through other communication, and she kept dropping the ball. And every time we would connect with her again over the course of a couple of weeks. She was asking us crap that we covered before, which showed me that she wasn't listening to us and all this stuff. And guys, this happens way more than you think. So you're talking yourself out of more sales than you're talking yourself into, for sure.
Absolutely.
So
I did for years.
Yeah. I got a PhD in that. All right, well, guys, give us a rating, give us a review. And for God's sake, ask a good question and shut your mouth.
Yeah.
There you go. You guys rock. We got to roll. We're out of here.
Later.